This is transactional entertainment lawyer Joshua Lasteen, and you're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
You've just jumped inside the pull bag. Join TFG1 Mike and the rest of the comic crew here at the GCRN as they make their great escape into comics. From DC, Marvel, and Image to IDW, Boom Studios, and Zenoscope, we have everything right here. We cover things like Transformers, He-Man, superheroes, TMNT, and Radiant Black. Yeah, we have all that and so much more. It's all inside the pull bag here on the Geekcast Radio Network. So, without further ado, it's time to talk about the comics we're reading right now, here inside the pull bag.
Meet Grimlock, not podcaster, meet Grimlock King.
Hello, everyone. This is TFG and Mike from the Geekcast Radio Network. This is the pull bag, episode 564 to 569. You're going to hear this exact same clip in all of these episodes. These are syndicated episodes from my buddy Jesse Early's podcast, Another Comic Review. We have already released these over on his podcast, and because it's the end of the year 2024, and I need some content for the pullbag, I am syndicating them here. They are in their unaltered entirety as they appear on Another Comic Review. So please, have a listen. This is G.I. Joe and Void Rivals. You'll hear those comics being reviewed in episodes 564 to 569, only on the Geekcast Radio Network's The Pullbag. Thanks for listening.
This is Another Comic Review, recorded July 28th, 2024. Welcome to another comic review. My name is Jesse, and as always, I am joined by TFG1 Mike from GeekCastRadio.com.
Brand new, all bright, shiny, and new GeekCastRadio.com.
Go. Newly relaunched, yeah, GeekCastRadio.com.
That's right. Yep. Relaunched into the stratosphere of Void Rivals.
Yeah, so on that note, our topic for today is Void Rivals number 11 by Kirkman, DeFelice, Del Pesce, and Wooten. Russ earning his keep here. Quick synopsis from imagecomics.com. A war in the wastelands. Zertonian forces have caught up to Derek and Salila, but thankfully they have a little Cybertronian help. Springer to the rescue! Exclamation point. My quick rundown. We open where we left off in issue 10 with Zertonian forces attacking Derek, Salila, and Springer. Springer attempts to carry them to safety in helicopter mode, but the gravity of the planet is too strong to maintain lift, so they have to battle it out. Armed with Derek's mech suit from the last time he was in the wasteland, Salila's staff, and Springer's sword, the three are able to hold off the forces, forcing them to retreat. As they retreat, Derek tells Springer to capture one of them and explain Energon to him. Springer does so and provides him with a data drive on how to extract Energon. We cut to Char, where Skuxoid is meeting with his newest client, Bosch, who is interested in having an item retrieved. Meanwhile, we see that their conversation is being spied on by the same robot from the Free Comic Book Day issue. We cut to Quintessa, where the Quintessons are discussing the immeasurable gains if they find the Unspoken One, and are concerned about a ship of theirs wasting Energon out in space. Aboard his own ship, Hot Rod is sword-fighting a trading droid when the sensors go off, confirming what Skuxoid had said about the alloy. Hot Rod scans for the decaying energy source and sets course to follow its trail. A Quintesson ship in the area cloaks their ship and follows afterward. Back in Zertonia, a very much alive Proximus rises up from the ground. We close with Derek seeking help from Springer to transport them to the Agorian border. While asking Salila about the glowing green key, she reacts harshly and says this is where they must part ways, setting up a close to the story arc. Thoughts and review.
First of all, I want to talk about the covers. We got five covers here. We got cover A done by DeFelice. Cover B is done by... God, now I'm going to screw that name up. Vasco, I'm sorry, Vasco, I'm not pronouncing your last name. Andre Lima does the third, cover C, and then we got cover D done by Wes Craig, and cover E is done by Matteo Cremona and Mike Spicer. The reason why I want to bring up the covers first is because up until just rereading it now before the podcast, I did not really realize what was on cover A. I'm like, oh, okay, Springer, with a bunch of G.I. Joe laser blasts around him. They're not G.I. Joe laser blasts, but I mean, those guys can't hit anything. And then the cover B is Derek and Salila hunkered down. Cover C is Springer in his car mode, which I do like. The cover D is Derek and Salila kind of back-to-back kind of thing. It's a nice little mishmash of colorings. And then the cover E one is another one of Springer in battle or being hit or something. I really dig the cover A and the cover C out of the five. And I can't believe I'm saying that because that's Springer in helicopter mode and Springer in car mode. And I am the least person in the Transformers fandom that would say that he likes Springer as a character. Not in this specific story, but overall.
I will say, I don't remember which ones I saw specifically, but I did see these two. Mm-hmm. My daughter and I went to the local comic shop over the weekend. She picked up a couple of books, and I stopped and looked at all of these covers, and they look absolutely fantastic in person.
Absolutely, they do. So yeah, I like this. We are getting into some action. We're getting into some stuff. We're actually having Springer interact with Derek and Salila now, and it's really good. The art is top notch as always. I do not have a single complaint about the art whatsoever, and the story is flowing to the point where, oh God, what's the finale going to be like for this story arc?
Yeah, what do you think it's going to be?
Oh, we'll find out.
So I am loving this series. I think I said after the last issue that this is certainly one of my favorites in the Energon universe. Now, right, there isn't much going on at the moment. We've got Transformers, we've got Void Rivals. Those are the only two ongoing until G.I. Joe comes out. But we've had the G.I. Joe miniseries, and I think those pale in comparison to what we're presented here in Void Rivals.
With only two issues out of the two current miniseries, the one that's the good one, the one that's the horrible one, I can safely say Scarlet so far is my favorite, even only after two issues out of all of them. I love the Scarlet miniseries so far. But other than that, yeah, it is what it is. G.I. Joe, your mileage will vary on the miniseries.
It'll be zero if you're reading Destro.
Yeah, we don't recommend Destro. Sorry, folks, we don't.
Yeah, I mean, unless there's like a big turnaround in issue three, I don't know. But for this issue, I absolutely love the fact that it's like, it's mostly like nonstop action, right? And then we dip out of the main story, and we go over and we find out more about Skuxoid. It's like, well, what's he doing now, right? And we're introduced to another character from the Transformers cartoon, right? The original G1 cartoon, with the Bosch character. And then we jump right back to Quintessa. Right, we're dealing with the Quintessons again. And then, boom, there is Hot Rod. We haven't seen Hot Rod since the Free Comic Book Day issue.
Yep.
And here he is. He's back. And, right, so I was speculating after that issue, right, he didn't say who he was specifically looking for.
Right.
Right? We speculated that it was probably Springer here, obviously. Mm-hmm. Unless there's a big swerve, I think that's who he's looking for is Springer.
Yeah.
But, I'm really liking the intermixing of the different universes here into this shared universe. Mm-hmm. Or I guess I'll say characters from different, you know, the different properties into this one universe. I think it's being handled really well here in Void Rivals. I think because we're seeing all these mixing of characters here, I think what we're going to be seeing mainly within G.I. Joe and Transformers is just the intermixing of G.I. Joe with Transformers in those two properties, right? Or do you think we'll actually see them cross over with kind of everything at this point?
I don't know if we will see G.I. Joe in Void Rivals. And I don't know if it's needed in Void Rivals at this point at issue 11, July 28th, 2024. By the way, happy birthday, Peter Cullen. I don't know if G.I. Joe is needed here because you have Derek and Salila, who are of two separate alien races from the same kind of planetoid ring thing. And then you have the Transformers. And it's all sci-fi space stuff. It's not like the G.I. Joe we've seen so far, I don't think those guys are going to go into space anytime soon.
Yeah.
So I am perfectly fine. Like, yes, this is a shared universe. Absolutely, as it is. But I think that this shared universe can have its own pockets and corners to it. Transformers and G.I. Joe on Earth, obviously that's going to mix. That's going to mix and mingle and whatever else, and you're going to have Cobra Commander holding Megatron hostage or whatever the hell he's doing with Megatron and all this and all that. You're going to have Starscream doing Starscream's bullshit that he always does and whatever else. But with Void Rivals, it's the larger scope of this Energon universe. And the coolest thing about this larger scope of the Energon universe is, as I've said in the last 10 issues before this, they have given us new characters with specific character development that is amazing between Derek and Salila. They have Kirkman has introduced us to each of their races from the Sacred Ring. So these are two peoples from a planet or from a ring or whatever the hell kind of thing. And they're the center of the story. But then you weave in the characters we've known for, well, technically 38 years, because Hot Rod and Springer didn't come along till 86. But let's just say, for argument's sake, 40 years of the Transformers. You weave those in, like Shockwave, when Shockwave showed up. Was it Shockwave? Yeah. Whatever. Point is, Jetfire. Fine, whatever. It doesn't matter. The point is that the Transformers are on the edges of the Void Rivals universe, and at least for the first 10 issues. And now we finally get to see them, Springer specifically, interact with Derek and Salila. We get to see Hot Rod interacting and hopefully destroying the Quintessons. I love the close-up panel, because I can just hear Judd's voice in my head. Holy crap, I scared the Skuxoid more than I thought. He actually told me the truth. Setting course. Yep. Yep. You know, like, I hear, like, and because he's specifically Hot Rod, he's not, like, literally, you look at that chest plate, that's not the Rodimus Prime chest plate, that's Hot Rod. And that's fine. And it's been said that his character is Hot Rod. So he's not Rodimus Prime yet. So I hear Judd Nelson in my head. I don't hear Dick Gaudier, may the man rest in peace, because he passed away a number of years ago. But you have what we know and have loved for the last 4 years of our lives mixed in with this new stuff that is just blowing our socks off. It's great. Dare I say, if I was making a top 10, top 20, top 50 comics of 2024 in July, Void Rivals might be the number one new series for me. Probably would be if I was making a list.
Yeah, I mean, considering I'm reading very little.
You're new. You're getting into stuff. You're finding stuff you like and whatever. You're just, you know, no one's expecting you to make a top 50 list.
Right, right. I mean, I can give you a top three. Right? I'm reading, so I don't know where I was going to go with that. But other than to say that, yeah, I really enjoy this series. And I think it's certainly up there with, and again, I have read more than just the Energon universe as it relates to comics over mm-hmm. the last, we're coming up on a year now. Yeah. But the only series that I'm truly following are just the Energon universe comics. And of everything that I've read, you know, Void Rivals, I think is right up there. And I think between last issue and this issue in particular, the story just seems like it's really picking up steam, right? Yep. And now we're bringing in all of these different characters from, right? Some that we were introduced early on in the story, right? Like with Skuxoid. We're now getting, you know, we're bringing in more Transformers right here with Hot Rod. We're learning more about the Quintessons. And get a start to kind of see how Cybertron's coming into play with potentially, right, the history of Zirtonia. I mean, it's just really picking up steam here. And I will say, as I read this particular issue, and I did so from my phone, which I think does not really give it the service that it deserves. Especially when you're looking at the artwork, because like you said, the artwork is fantastic. But when I'm reading this, because I'll tell you how I typically do this, right? It's morning of release, and because I'm buying it digitally, right, I've got it instantly delivered to the Kindle app. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I'll wake up at like 5 a.m. I'm like, oh, all right, well, I'm not ready to get out of bed yet, but I do want to read this.
Yep.
So I'll bring it up, and I've got the guided view on, so I can focus on just one panel at a time, which is much easier on a phone. Yep. And just going through this, it felt like a really long issue, which again, I know, right, is not any different in terms of length than any other issue, but it mm-hmm. the story just seemed like it just kept going. I didn't want it to end. And by the time we got to the end, it's like, no, and I got to wait to, you know, for August for the end of the story arc here. And I just don't want to wait.
Oh boy. Your OCD is going to go into really big speed time once we get to August, because, oh, buddy, let me tell you, we'll get to that later. But yeah, I absolutely. And that's the thing about comics, man. You have these slow issues that feel like they take forever. Not this one. But you have the expositional issues. And like I've said, for the last however many episodes we've done of this, 25, 26, 27, whatever it is, there needs to always be a balance in comics. One issue can be exposition, one issue can be action, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Some issues can be both. And it can work and intermingle and mix. And that's what this does. This does move the story along, basically gives everybody a swift kick in the ass, and just let's go get it done kind of thing. But there's still so much. You had complained about the, was it in Scarlet number one? Yeah, you complained about there's too many words, too many word balloons in Scarlet number one. I don't think Springer has said this many lines in 40 years. He probably has. I'm exaggerating. But like, seriously, like in this issue specifically, the dude, because he's interacting, he's having interactions, and he's working with Derek and Salila to fight the whatever the hell, the Proximus and all them and whatever else. And it just works. It's a fun comic that when you get to the end of it, you're like, oh, I want more. But now I have to wait a month-ish. I don't want to just say specifically 30 days because I don't think it's 30 days between the two releases. But, you know, like, and that's the way, like, at the end of this comic, the way you're feeling, the way I'm feeling of, holy crap, I need the next issue now because that was so damn good. That's the greatest thing about reading comic books, is it gives you that want, and then it gives you the low sort of, oh, I have to wait a month. But that month goes by pretty fast.
Well, I will say that the next one, right, so the end of the story arc, Void Rivals number 12, is actually more than a month because it doesn't release until August 28th.
So I don't know. I haven't seen, and we've got stuff from San Diego that's come out and everything else. We're not going to get too far into that tonight, but because San Diego Comic-Con just ended as of this recording, they're planning something. Skybound is doing something with the Energon universe. I don't know. You let me know when you want me to get into the solicits, but I noticed something between 12 and 13.
Okay. Well, before you get into that real quick, what I do want to say is, right, so I think going back to Scarlet number one, I don't know that it was more, I don't know that it was a complaint about all the word bubbles. More so, I was surprised at how easy it was to follow all the word bubbles.
Okay.
With the back and forth conversation between the characters.
Okay.
The way they were designed, whoever drew that up, right, the way the word bubbles are designed, it's just really easy to follow the conversation, despite the fact there's like all sorts of words all over the place. But in contrast, in this particular issue of Void Rivals, I do want to call out pages 20 and 21, which have absolutely no words on them. And it's just told, right, the story that's on the pages here is just told through visual storytelling. And I think it's pretty impactful. Yeah, so page 20 has the Zetonian Force member that Springer captured really quickly just to talk to him about Energon and gave him that data tablet. And we see on this particular page that person is looking at this data tablet, right? Trying to fully process and understand everything that Springer had just showed him. And on the very next page, right, that's when we see Proximus, like, right, you see his hand like come out of the ground,
yep,
like a resurrection here, and he's like pulling himself up, missing his right arm.
Yep.
I think if I remember correctly, we can't see it here. It looks like he's got his right leg, but I think he also lost one of his legs, so presumably his left leg, if that's true, if I remember correctly. But again, that page, that's right, we see Proximus coming out of the ground. No words at all. It's all told through visual storytelling. And I think that works really well. It's a nice contrast to kind of like everything else in this issue, because like, I don't think there are any other pages that don't have words on them.
Yeah.
But again, it's just progressing the story, but it's doing so very nicely in a visual, right, in a visual storytelling way, as opposed to giving us exposition and, you know, in word bubbles. So
no, absolutely. Yeah. And that's, again, it goes to the testament of Mr. Kirkman and DeFelici and everybody else that is working on this series. They're so good. And I know that they've been at this for a while, as far as just being in comics in general. But I mean, like I said before, it just blows every issue of Void Rivals so far blows me away. And the little nitpicky things I could find, at the end of the day, they don't matter, because I walked away happy with the story.
Yeah. Now, I guess the question I have for you is, were you expecting Char to show up?
No, I was not expecting Char. No one expects Char to show up.
Now I'm wondering, right now that we have this Bosch character, I'm wondering, like, what else are we going to be seeing from Transformers? I need to start, like, digging through Transformers lore, at least from the cartoon, to see you know, what else we might be seeing here.
Again,
like Kremzeek, right? Kremzeek?
I don't think we're going to see Kremzeek in Void Rivals. Maybe. It'd be funny, but no, I don't think so. The big difference between Transformers and Void Rivals is they are throwing in all of the other characters that aren't, okay, yes, technically Jetfire and Shockwave are specific to 1984, 1985. But Transformers is, at least for now, solely based, for the most part, in, well, outside of Magnus. I don't know. I was going to say it's mainly 84 kind of thing, the 84 feels, but then there's Magnus and RC and Alita 1 and everything else, so I don't know what the hell I'm talking about anymore. But it's one of those things where it feels like it's the before movie, even though there are movie characters in it, it doesn't feel like it's season three. This, Void Rivals, with where they've shown people, with where they've shown, like, had Jetfire show up, or had Shockwave show up, or had the Skuxoid show up, of all friggin' things. That's definite G1 season three. Like, that's what Void Rivals feels to me with the Transformers, is very season three. And who knows what they're going to throw in next.
Yeah, I mean, I 100% agree with you, right? Void Rivals very much feels like, even just from like a, I'm going to use the word texture here, but that's not the word I want. Like the look and feel, right? So it's very much futuristic, which is very much what season three of Transformers was, right? Season one and two, clearly stuck in the 80s.
Yeah.
And then we have the Transformers, the movie, and then boom, right? Everything is like futuristic. And it's like, that's what we're getting here in Void Rivals. And that's, like you said, it very much feels like season three.
So I think I have the perfect analogy for you, since you couldn't find one for yourself. Transformers by Daniel R. Johnson currently is very gritty, grimy, on the ground kind of stuff. And Void Rivals, with the Transformers references that are in Void Rivals, even though it's not about the Transformers, it's about the characters of Derek Salila, the Zertonians, the Angorians, all that. Void Rivals is a sleek, sexy import. That's what it is. It's modern. It's not so modern, but it's so sleek to the point of you could slip right off of it and just enjoy the whole ride.
Yeah.
Even though he's not Rodimus Prime, I can hear Dick Gauthier in my head in, I forget which episode it was in season three. I think it might have been one of the Five Faces of Dark, where he's like kicking back in space, just enjoy the ride, when they got knocked off of whatever it was they got knocked off of. I don't. But no, Void Rivals, I'm very interested to see where these characters go for Derek and Salila and all of the original Void Rivals characters. I am pumped to see the Transformers stuff that they're doing in it, and I can't wait for more.
Yeah, I'm curious to see when, if at all, that they cross over with Transformers, meaning, right, do we see Hot Rod, do we see Springer show up in the Transformers comic at all? And the reason I ask that question is because, yeah, visually, and I realize, right, two different artists, so I'm not talking about just
right, yeah,
different, in terms of, you know, differences of type of art, or how an artist may draw something, but right, Hot Rod and Springer just feel like completely different from, you know, that's 1984, 85 line of characters that we're seeing in Transformers.
So the way Springer has looked in the last, well, since he's kind of debuted in the story arc, and the way Hot Rod looks, again, very sleek, very, very polished kind of look. Whereas, like you just said, those bots back in the Transformers series, I mean, they ripped his freaking arm off and he has to use Megatron, like, the closest thing we have in Void Rivals to an Optimus Prime, Daniel Oren Johnson, I'm forgetting the artist off the top of my head. The closest thing we have an Optimus Prime arm ripoff is whatever they did to Proximus in Void Rivals with his missing limbs. That's the closest we've come to the grit that is the Transformers series from Skybound Entertainment.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, even like looking at Derek, looking at Salila, looking at these Agorian forces here, or sorry, Zertonian forces, right?
Yep.
And their tanks or whatever. You're right. I mean, everything is like 100% sleek. It's sexy. It's curved.
Yep.
We don't get that with Transformers. And I'm just wondering. Oh,
you're going to hate me for this. You are absolutely going to hate me for this. Void Rivals is every curved screen Android phone, and Transformers is the hard lines glass cutout of an iPhone.
I'll go with you on that.
Sorry, not sorry. Oh, man. All right. You got any other questions for me, or you want me to go into these things now?
I got no other questions. Yeah, let's jump into the 12 and 13 solicit.
Okay, so 12 and 13. So this is where it's going to kind of makes me curious of what's going on and what they're doing. Maybe they're just leading up to this or whatever. But Void Rivals number 12. It arrives August 28th, 2024. The synopsis here is, after what they've endured in the wasteland, are Derek and Salila now destined to walk separate paths? Where Salila goes, now Derek cannot follow. Or can he? What will Springer's final fate be? And what are the Quintessons planning now? Dun, dun, dun. The main cover A, I'm assuming this is of them walking away. The other two covers... one of them is the Quintesson, all in green, very alien-ish looking glass black eyes. Now that could be a Funko Pop. Seriously, the soulless black eyes on this image? Wow. And then the other alternate cover is the Quintesson at the top with Proximus, Salila, and then Derek. And I forget what the old bearded white guy's name is, or the old white bearded guy's name is. Off the top of my head. So it's kind of like the Sacred Ring kind of split in half kind of thing. So like I said, this is coming out August 28th of 2024. Now, this, in between 12 and 13, is where my curiosity is severely piqued with whatever Skybound is doing in September. Because Void Rivals number 13 arriving October 23rd, 2024.
Oh, man.
New story arc. Pythonia of Cobra La ventures deep into space. Look, dude. G.I. Joe in space. It's not G.I. Joe, but it's Cobra. Fuck!
It's Cobra La.
Yeah, still. Will her mission spell certain doom for the Void Rivals? Dun, dun, dun. The main cover on the Image comic, the Image Comics page is this new character with her troops. It's a very pinkish, purplish, blacks, and like light blues, really like that. One of the variant covers is Derek, Salila, and this other new character. Pythonia. The next one is also, it's a variant of her. Yeah, Void Rivals 13 with the new story arc outside of the last cover, the second to last cover, I should say, because the last one is just a normal... The last cover here, folks, is just a blank cover for, like, if you go to conventions or something, you want to have one of the artists draw on it. That's what blanks are for those that may not know, for those that whatever. And the final one is Springer and Derek teaming up. I am very interested in the new story arc. I'm very, obviously, I can't wait to read the end of this arc, but just reading that, the fact that Cobra La is going to go into space and we have this new character, Pythonia, that looks really cool. And I'm very excited for it.
I'm hoping, I know covers don't mean jack shit, but I'm hoping Springer survives this story arc and we continue to see him in Void Rivals. Mm-hmm. But as it relates to Pythonia, it's like, do I really care about this? I don't know.
Well, we'll find out. It's a new story arc. I mean, we've become... Yeah,
I already think Cobra La is like kind of weird as it is, right? There's no real background or explanation as to what Cobra La is. Like, I got to go out and Google it.
And I need to correct myself, folks. I know what they're doing in September, so that's why. Gotcha. They're giving everybody else a chance to catch up, so I should have read these in order. So you got 12 in August 28th. In September, September 4th, which would have been my grandfather. He passed away back in 2000, but it would have been his X number of 100th birthday. Actually, September 4th, I think, is also Jack Kirby's birthday, King of Comics. Void Rivals, trade paperback, volume 2. That's what's coming in September. So they're giving everybody... I love this. This is the way comics should be done. You have issues 7 to 12 come out each of their months that they come out. You take a month off to get the new story arc ready to go and maybe get a little bit ahead in the new story arc, release the second trade to have everybody catch up. And just because, I'm going to read it anyway, cover price on this, like I said, includes Void Rivals 7-12, cover price is $16.99 on Image Comics website. The Energon universe continues here. Derek and Salila traverse the northern wasteland, and there is no shortage of enemies in their way. But there's hope in the form of everyone's favorite Autobot, Triple Changer Springer. The game-changing team of Robert Kirkman, Lorenzo DeFelici, and Patrico Del Pesce continue their critically acclaimed new series exploring the most shocking corners of the Energon universe, featuring a direct market exclusive cover that will only be printed once. Dun, dun, dun.
Not gonna lie, I might...
Okay, all right. So here's the thing. What I suggest for you, we obviously are picking up these in digital form, as far as the single issues to do on the show.
Yep.
What you need to do, as a collector, and to like get the physical copies of the trades.
Yeah. The problem is they just take up space.
They don't. There's only two of them so far. Like, that's not too much space. Like,
right, but if it's going to be, like, ongoing, it's like we're up to several hundred comics.
As much as I would love Skybound to be continuing on with Void Rivals issue 3001 long after we're all gone, I really don't think. Okay, perfect example. Are you still reading the More Than Meets the Eye, Robots in Disguise, IDW stuff?
I'm slowly working through it, yeah.
Okay, well, I'm trying to remember, is it 14 trades? I know that sounds like it's a lot, but it's essentially a bookshelf. It's the same thing if you were a Stephen King collector or an R.L. Stine book collector or whatever author you want to put in my mouth collector that has a bookshelf. It's the same damn thing. It's the same thing with toy collecting.
Yeah, but we have like literally one bookcase, right?
Okay. And it's
full of books. Like, you can't put a new book in there other than stacking on top of books that are already like lined up. And they're like 99.9% all of my wife's books because she loves reading. I have a few books in there, and there's like no room to put anything else.
Okay,
but on that note, I do want to pick these up. I think between this and Transformers, although I have not gotten the first one of Transformers yet, I think I do want to pick those up.
Yeah.
Granted, I would love for them to be hardcover because I just love hardcover more. But
right. And again, you're going to have to wait years for that because we don't know how far let's just stay with Void Rivals since that's what we're talking about today for the review. We don't know how far this story is going to go. We're only up to getting issue 13 in October. Is that right? October. Yes.
October. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. October. Okay. So again, I will point you to the fact that they do single issues first, whether it's in print or digital, they do trades next. And then they like after years down the line, they will do hardcovers. It took IDW years to get the IDW collection stuff for the Turtles, which are all hardcovers, and it's collected in story order. They didn't release those immediately. They waited for that. And that's the thing about the collected part of comics. Sometimes it's a waiting game.
Yeah, but it seems like you want to get it out there before you lose the license, right?
Wow. How are they going to lose their license on their license? Okay, yeah, they might lose the Hasbro license or whatever, but like Void Rivals is their original thing.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, like, how does that work now that you've got Transformers inside of the comic? I don't know.
Just like what happened with IDW. IDW lost the license. Everything goes out of print, becomes more rare, becomes more valuable kind of thing. Same thing here. When, I hope it's not anytime soon, but I'm just saying when and if Skybound loses the license or Hasbro decides to go somewhere else, you know, hopefully 40 or 50 years down the line from now, and we'll all be, you know, I'll be gone by then. You know, it's just one of those things where it'll change hands again. But I don't think it's going to change hands this soon. I think we are in for the long haul here. I think we're going to get a bunch of cool stories. I am going to try to invoke my good friend for 16, 17 years now, Steve Megatron, co-creator of the Geekcast Radio Network. He has these weird prediction powers. I'm going to say Void Rivals is going to have at least 10 trade paperbacks. We're on volume 2 right now, coming in September. We've got 8 more to go for the collected edition story arcs.
Well, I mean, with Transformers just winning Best Continuing Series, I don't think that's going to stop anytime soon. So.
Nope, I don't either.
So, yeah, I mean, yeah, I do want to pick these up. I just need to find a place to put them. I guess that's all I'm saying. All right, so that was 12-13 and the collected. Any closing thoughts?
Keep it up, Mr. Kirkman, DeFelici, everybody just... keep on. I am so excited for the story every month. It, like, this is so good.
Yeah, 100% agree. I think I said this last time, but I'm going to reiterate it again here. I would really love to see this turned into like a Netflix series. Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking like live action. I want to see, like, I want to see an animated.
Yeah.
I think it'd be a really, really great thing.
I know that Skybound is it's an imprint under Image Comics, and honestly, I would not put that past them. So in a different Image Comics series that is not under Skybound, it's under Image itself. It's called No One. They have a companion podcast, like a storytelling. It's a whole thing. They have a companion podcast. They just announced at Comic-Con this weekend they are doing an animated series for it. So I don't know. I think Void Rivals is going to have to sell a lot of books, and I think we're going to have to get a lot of people on the Void Rivals train here before anything like that happens. But because it is Image Comics, I would not put something like that past them. And yeah, I'm right there with you. I hope they do that too, because I would love to see this adapted. As much as I love seeing it in the original art form that it is with the comic book, this story so far would be amazing animated.
Yep. I mean, obviously, right, if it were to follow the comic storyline, mm-hmm. you gotta have more comics out there before you can write a TV show.
Yeah.
But
yeah, but sure. Yeah.
So all right, plugs. What do you got for plugs?
The all bright, shiny, and new geekcastradio.com. Head on over there. We've got 15, well, I've been doing it for 16 years this December. We got 15 years of content, just under 4,000 podcast episodes. We just released, I think I mentioned this last time, Studio 2009, which is our audio and visual medium thing. So whether it's an audiobook, a piece of music, a TV show, movie, whatever. My buddy Dave and I did Raiders of the Lost World, so we combined Raiders of the Lost Ark and Jurassic Park, The Lost World, or The Lost World, Jurassic Park. And then we just released our 12 months of Star Wars, The Mandalorian Season 1 episode. I am in the middle of editing our Beverly Hills Cop Axel Foley episode. We've got more double features coming up with RRR combined with Temple of Doom, and then Ghostbusters 2 and Last Crusade, because that's the 35th anniversary this year for those films. And yeah, there's so much stuff over at geekcastradio.com, folks. Check it out.
Well, when you were saying that you're coming up on 16 years?
Yeah, December either 8th or 12th.
So I'm like, huh, what am I at? Is this would be like 19, almost 19 years since I started the TF Wire podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're interested in hearing that, if you don't know anything about that, you don't even know who the fuck I am, that's fine. head on over to my archive website at iaconmedia, that's iaconmedia.com, and you can hear the very first TF Wire episode, along with all previous episodes. But when you were saying that, I wanted to see what the recording date on that was. It was August 1st of 2005. So next year will be 20 years since I started that podcast. I'm like, oh my God. All right. My plugs. So you can find me on YouTube at youtube.com/matrix_prime. On that note, I would like to get feedback from our listeners. I know we have listeners because I can see the stats on this. So if you're interested in seeing this on YouTube, I can also post it there. Like, that's kind of where we started out, and I moved it over here to just podcasting.
Mm-hmm.
But if people want to see it back on my YouTube, I can put it on there as well. Just let me know. You can shoot us comments probably from our Instagram. You can find us on Instagram at Another Comic Review. You can also find me on Blue Sky. I'm at Jesse Early, EARLEY. You can shoot me a message on there as well if you are interested in seeing this on YouTube. Other than that, I think that's all we got.
All right, folks. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of The Pullbag. Check us out next time when we'll be doing more syndicated episodes here at the end of 2024. Make your greatest game to comics, and we will catch you next time.
You've just heard the latest episode of The Pullback, the GCRN's first comic review and discussion podcast. There are several ways to get in touch with us and leave feedback for the show. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. You can rate and leave a review for the show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. Become a fan of us on Facebook, facebook.com/thepullbag. Send us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Follow us on Twitter @thepullbag and @geekcastradio. So until next time, make your great escape into comics and unleash the geek in you.